Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX 307. What a weird day. What a weird day.
A little bit.
So strange.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you my day.
Yeah, let's see.
So I started out at the nursing home, and they came in and asked my mom if she would like to play bingo, and she said, no, but I'll watch, unless it gets political or someone tries to use me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how my day started.
I kind of feel the same way about bingo.
Okay, well, there you go. Then I realized, for the first time in probably 15 years, I forgot my phone. Walked off without it at home. Oof. And we had to be downtown about 10:45 because it was KMOX Day at the ballpark. So I was running late, and I had to go back by my house and pick up the phone and see all the people who had been like, where are you? Where are you? What's going on? And busted ass down here, got down, wheels throughout the first pitch, threw a perfect strike, probably 80 miles an hour, of course. And the other guy to throw out the first pitch was a UFC heavyweight champion. So it's already like a total dream I would have. Then we go upstairs, had a hot dog. Wheels and I go downstairs and broadcast with Paulie to 149 different radio stations. And then we go back upstairs, and it starts raining, and there's no one in the stadium but us.
Yeah, and they weren't letting fans into the seats, to be clear.
Right.
Like, nobody was in the seats.
Completely empty.
Yeah.
And then we all rode back in Tom Ackerman's car.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like little
Tom's
kids
taxi.
Being dropped off from a movie. And then
Papa Tom.
We went through the whole thing that we go through. We're grown-ass people. And we're like, what do you think? I mean, it's not really raining that hard. I think they should play. And like,
Sun's out now.
I don't know what these guys are even thinking.
If they're asking me, I know which direction I'd go.
And then Andrew texted me. I'm still mad about this. He's like, oh, I think we're getting ready to go home. Evidently, there's movement on the field, and they're moving things into the Mets dugout. And I told Rach, I'm like, get ready to go
home. That's a bad sign when things are going into the dugout.
Oh.
Is it?
They were bringing the gear from the bullpen into the dugout, meaning they're getting ready to shut it down.
I don't know. Matt Pauly said on the radio, he said they're moving stuff into the dugout. But he made it sound like it was a good thing. He was like, so maybe we are getting ready to try and get started here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just been the weirdest day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to keep in mind, too, like before the game starts, the decision is on the home team in Major League Baseball. Right. So the decision would be on the Cardinals to decide, all right, if you can start now, how much of the game will you be able to play? Because we know there's another big wave coming in.
And you need five.
Yeah, and you need to get five. But you're also thinking about it. I don't know the thought process of the team. And I don't even know who makes the call. I don't know if it's Mo or Bill DeWitt Jr., Bill DeWitt III. I have no idea who makes that call. But it's somebody in the front office. Well, let's say you go out there and you play 3.5 innings, and then the rain blows it out. The game's not official. Sonny Gray just pitched 3.5 innings that don't count, and he won't be available again for 5 days. You put it out there today, and you're like, well, this game's now going to be played in August, and guess who starts game one in Milwaukee tomorrow, most likely?
Yeah.
Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
But mostly, the reason you do this is the weather, because you're not convinced you're going to get the game in. And the last thing that anybody wants for these guys is to be stuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Cardinals have to go to Milwaukee tomorrow. They don't want to be here till 10, 11, 12 o'clock midnight tonight, because you don't know when you're going to start and play the game. And the Mets need to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So...
None of this is making us feel better.
Yeah, I didn't hear any consideration of Dave in there. Like, not one.
But we were all like, I was talking to you guys like, too, like, man, if they start this game, we're probably just done. We just go because if there's a delay, usually that's at least an hour. And by the time that would be done, we'd be done. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, nope. Hey, guys, go to the studio.
Tell me about Contreras.
Yeah, all right. So where do you want to start? Because there's a lot to it. Let's just start with the fact that he's hurt. We can get to the how and the why and all that. But so Wilson Contreras is down probably 6 to 8 weeks. It could be longer. You know, it's a soft timetable. He presented that timetable. The team did not. But he's having surgery on a broken left forearm because he got hit by a swing yesterday. Not the backswing, but the actual swing. It was catcher's interference. So it just meant that J.D. Martinez got to go to first base because that's what happens on a catcher's interference.
So just like if you took a bat and swung it as hard as you could at my forearm.
Pretty close to it. I mean, not straight down, but
pretty close.
Pretty close to the angle where it's almost straight down. And there's a lot that goes into this, but the short version of it is This happened because the movement in Major League Baseball for the last few years has been to move catchers closer and closer to home plate. And that's so that they can steal more pitches for strikes. Framing is a big deal. Like, that's where catcher value really is. Well, when you move closer, almost every pitch at the bottom of the zone, well, not almost, all pitches are sinking when they leave the hand. So if you have a pitch at the bottom of the zone, as it's crossing the plate, it's continuing to sink. So the closer you are to catch it, the less it has time to sink out of the zone. It looks like a better pitch to the umpire, mm-hmm. and you're trying to make sure that those are getting called in your favor. And teams across the board are doing this, and we know it's a league-wide thing because catcher's interference has increased tenfold, right? You go back 20 years, there would be 9 of them a year, 10 of them a year. Last year, there were over 100. There were 97 that were called straight up, and I think there was like another 30 that were called catcher's interference after video replay. So we're in the stage now where we used to get 10 a year. Now you're getting 100 a year. And this year was already trending before last night, league-wide, to have like 150 of them. So this is because everybody's moving up because everybody wants to frame those pitches. Well, when you move closer, you risk this kind of thing. And that's essentially why Wilson Contreras got hurt. And you combine it with the perfect set of circumstances, right? The hitter in the box is J.D. Martinez. He stands deep, so he's a little bit behind the back white line, which nobody is supposed to be, but everybody is. Mm-hmm. Everybody is behind that line. They all do it. They wipe out that back white line at the very beginning of the game, and they all stand as far back as they can. So you got him deep in the box. You got a pitch outside, which means he's trying to wait for it to travel further, right? So if you're trying to hit a ball that's middle in, you're hitting it out in front of your front foot. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to hit a ball that is away, you're actually trying to hit it even with about your back hip. So it's way deeper, which is basically where the arm comes into play, and that's where you lose your best hitter for the next 6 to 8 weeks minimum.
6 to 8 weeks seems like an awfully quick
All-star
turnaround.
Break, yeah, well, yeah, good
for
point.
For a surgically repaired broken arm.
Yeah, I mean, bones tend to heal 4 to 6 weeks. You know, like that's typically if you just break a bone and it's not like a compound fracture, it's not displaced. 4 to 6 weeks is typically how long it would heal. But when you get either a displacement or in this case, a surgical procedure to stabilize it, you add the extra couple of weeks, but you know, yeah, it's going to be a while. And again, there's a chance it could be longer. The low end is 6 weeks. That's like your best case scenario. Everything's perfect. And even that's wishful thinking. It's probably closer to 8.
Anything else on that topic?
No, I think it's interesting to me that like immediately the reaction was, boy, the Cardinals are stupid for having him do that. But the reality is that every catcher in baseball is doing it. And the question can be asked whether or not that it's worth the risk. But think about the numbers. Here are the numbers, right? So there are roughly, this is an estimate, but I tried to estimate on the low side so that the number's actually bigger than what I'm saying. But there are over 500,000 pitches thrown in a season. Okay. And now, over the last 2 years, we've seen this increase. So over the last 2 years, and counting this year, there's been more than 1 million pitches thrown in Major League Baseball. How many times have we seen this happen?
It's the first one I know of.
So would you take the 1 in a million chance of an injury to steal or get calls that you want regularly on a game-by-game basis?
Not if I'm the catcher.
Not anymore, right? I do wonder if this spurs on like a conversation or
right.
about something.
Have the umpires ever said like, hey, just stop?
They can't.
Right.
There's an area you're allowed to be, and you're allowed to be up right up on the plate, but if you interfere, then the hitter gets to take first base.
So Miles got blown up pretty bad. Is this a pattern?
Well, I mean, he's got a 6-something earned run average. So, yeah, I mean, he's kind of been on the alternating schedule where it's a good one and then you blow up a little bit and a good one and you blow up a little bit. And, you know, look, when the offense is not producing, everything that happens is going to be magnified, right? It doesn't mean that pitchers aren't allowed to be human and have bad games, but you had a 3-0 lead yesterday and then you get into the fifth inning and Miles Michaelis gives up 6 straight hits. Hit, home run, hit, double. I mean, like, you know, 6 straight hard contact, and you could argue whether or not you should have pulled him from the game. But even if you did, it's not like you were going to your best guys in that situation because a lot of them are only used when you're up late in games, and you had to use a bunch of people here in the last few days because you had a bullpen start, and then you had another game where you needed guys, and it's one of those deals where you're just kind of stuck. Like, sometimes guys just need to pitch better or hit better or whatever, and that's where they are. They just have to be better, and if they're not, then we will eventually end up where we were last year. But you're not quite there yet. You're not in that same position yet.
Okay, so the game has been canceled and will be rescheduled for later in the summer.
In August, yeah.
The weather is going to get worse. Right now, it's perfectly sunny and beautiful in the shadows of the trees out there on Olive Boulevard from the KMOX studios, but it's going to get bad. Dave Murray's going to join us at 3:35 to tell you all the details. Welcome back, 322 DGS. Dave Murray's going to join us at 3:35. We have another round of this coming somewhere late afternoon. Hey, Andrew, you listening?
Yes.
RIP to your Panera lemonade.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard. I was so upset about this.
No, don't react.
You should have seen me yesterday. Like when Michael, because I first heard Michael report it on our news, and I almost fell back in my chair. I'm so upset. And then I forgot to tell my wife about it last night, so we go to Panera this morning, and she gets the Killer Murder lemonade, and she brings it out, and I'm like, sit down. I need to tell you something before you take a drink of that. I need you to know that that could be
your last.
Because what I hear is they're not restocking it anymore. So what?
Oh, what, so your, what they have is it?
What your Panera has of the lemonade.
What are you doing sitting here?
I thought about going back in and get, because we have the Sip Club, but you can only get one drink with that. I have to.
You're gonna bring back some like empty milk jugs, fill them up by the gallon.
I'll take whatever you got. I'm so upset. Like I, it's devastating. I just, a couple people couldn't handle their business.
Yeah,
and it becomes everybody else's problem.
Yep. They died.
Exactly.
They shouldn't have been drinking that lemonade. I mean, not to sound calloused, but
no, not at all.
Well, one of them drank like seven of them in a day. Like you should know.
They sold them seven.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying maybe they should have done that either, but...
Is it one of those deals, though, where you're like, you can just sit there and get refills? Is anybody even paying attention to whether or not you're getting... Or had they already moved it behind the counter then?
No, they hadn't moved it behind the counter.
Yeah.
So you could just stand there and drink as many as you wanted?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Way to go, Panera. So your anniversary was ruined by little kids?
Yeah, so my wife and I went to Spaghetti Factory last night.
Which
it was
one?
The one that's down on the landing.
Yeah.
That's a great one. It's the one where we went with Trish.
Dude, you used to not be, I mean, it would literally be a 3-hour wait. When I was like in my early 20s and, you know, going on dates and stuff, you couldn't get near that place.
Yeah, and so I made a reservation though, which I think was a smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was pretty crowded last night. And by the way, I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but I've been there 3 times now, and all 3 times I've sat in the exact same booth.
Oh, I'm sure. Mr. Stoles is here.
Yeah, I've been there twice with Megan, and then once when we all went as a show.
Go kick those cretins out of booth number 5.
Yeah, and every time I've sat in the exact same spot. It was very nice. It was a lovely. It always is there. It's a great place. One of the best restaurants I think in the city. I think it's just a blast to go there. But like two like had to be buses filled with like 2 schools worth of kids all came in at the same time, and they lined them up like in such a way that they went like directly past our table while they're trying to, you know, take orders and you know, get them drinks and stuff like that. And it was just funny because the whole time they're like, they're doing kid stuff, so they're like leaning up, they're like leaning on our table and like doing this on it and stuff, and they're like
staring. How old are the kids?
Maybe like 13, 14.
Oh,
that is so rude.
And they're like staring. I mean, kids are rude.
That's the worst. That's the worst age.
It was funny because they were like staring, like really staring at like me and my wife and our food and stuff.
When you're 9.
And I'm like, I can see you.
When you're 9, you can't muster enough power to really affect grown-ups.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to be like straight up demon possessed.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're 16, 17, you would, most
you're kinda getting past it.
Have enough sense to not do the really stupid stuff like lay your elbows on someone else's table at a restaurant. 13, 14.
They were like wrestling like right next to the table and like bumping into the table and stuff. And so
the
and
only
it,
thing
it was that, funny enough that we weren't like super upset about it.
The only thing
it.
That saved me at that age was I was mostly just performing for Jack and Francis. Like I was not allowed out. Other places. We weren't going to places where I could have caused a scene, you know?
Yeah. But this was, I mean, and then from there on, of course, when you get, you know, 70 kids in a restaurant, it's just kind of like screaming and hollering. But we were pretty much done by that point. It was just very funny, like, you know, having been a kid and you go on those like school trips or whatever and you go to a restaurant and you're like, yeah, all 75 of us are going to McDonald's. And then when you're an adult, you're like, oh my God, those poor McDonald's employees.
You're really making me want Spaghetti Factory.
I highly recommend. I had the lobster and crab ravioli.
Of course you did.
Highly recommend. Mm.
Why would you deny yourself?
I highly recommend.
Andrew's like, you know what? I deserve a treat.
All these kids with their elbows at my table.
And I ate all the bread because she couldn't have the bread because she has an allergy. And then I had both servings of dessert ice cream because she can't have the ice cream, of course.
It sounds almost like you set this up.
Don't think I didn't think ahead of time, like, ooh, I'm going to get both ice cream.
It's a double night. New meaning to double date.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 335. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
Man, we missed everything. You did. The game. We missed storm mode because we were sitting over there waiting for them to play a game. Let's start there because I know we have more storms rolling through later on in the afternoon, but let's recap what has already happened.
Okay, the thunderstorm, it was really a supercell. It developed right around Cuba and Sullivan, moved across southern sections of Franklin County, right through Jefferson County, over to the east side in Monroe County. Tremendous hail ranging from, I heard one, in fact, right here on KMOX, tater tot size hail, all the way up to baseball size hail. And it really wicked. There were several funnel clouds spotted. There were several hook echoes on the radar. I still don't have any ground truth observation of any touchdown, but that's not to say it didn't happen. And so that's something we're going to have to watch unfold. Those storms kind of veered away from downtown St. Louis, though there were showers and stuff. It's now down around Perryville over to about Pinckneyville and moving away. So I'm not worried about that batch anymore. Now the atmosphere is trying to recharge and get itself together again. Sun is out in some locations. That means the atmosphere is going to fire up. Got a batch of, let's call them thunder showers at this point, in western St. Charles County, moving down across portions of Franklin County, back down around Sullivan and approaching St. Clair. It's a little batch. And then there is a couple of supercells pushing towards, one pushing towards Rolla, the other pushing towards Osage Beach, another one further down in southwest Missouri, north of Springfield. And there is a bit of a broken line of thunderstorms running from about Springfield in Illinois down through Bowling Green, approaching Columbia right now, and time will approach Jefferson City, and then it goes all the way down into northwest Arkansas and all the way down into Oklahoma. That's kind of the tail end of the stuff, and all that has to come through. We talked about it yesterday. It's a low pressure system is going to come right over us. So I still like the timing. We need to be alert up until about 9 o'clock tonight. After 9 o'clock, everything should be by. But there's a lot of the area right now is not seeing much of anything other than that little thunder shower batch in St. Charles County down through Franklin County. So there is a break, and the more sun we see, the more the atmosphere will come alive. So I think for St. Louis primary time, I just have to say now, because it could fire very quickly up through 9 o'clock, large hail, again, possible damaging winds, possible tornadoes, a lot of heavy rain, a lot of lightning through 9 o'clock, clearing skies towards morning, 55. It is all gone. For several days, the atmosphere gets scrubbed out late tonight. Sunny, windy, 72 degrees, low humidity tomorrow, 51 Thursday night. Friday, sunny and nice, 68, 49 Friday night. The weekend, Saturday, sunny and 72, and Sunday, partly sunny and 78. Really nice stretch of weather, but let's pay attention up through 9 o'clock tonight.
Dave, is it just my perception? I remember the good old days when golf ball hail was like a lead story, and if it was a baseball size, you figured someone was faking it. Is it just my perception, or is hail getting bigger?
I think in this particular season for St. Louis, we've seen more tennis ball, baseball size hail than I can remember. There were many seasons we didn't get anything like that. Golf ball size hail, yes. But anything larger than that was pretty tough. And if we got anything larger, it was typically down through Jefferson County and points south. So we expected April and into early May to be a very active severe storm season. So is it getting bigger? No, But the storms were stronger this particular April and early May than we've seen in quite a while.
Wheels Day was talking about needing confirmation from like the weather watchers, and I know you're a certified weather watcher.
I am now a certified weather spotter.
You are definitely certified.
Have you done it? Like,
have I actually called anything in yet?
Yeah.
No.
Have you like watched?
Yeah, I always go out and watch when it's happening, but the problem that I've run into is I'm always here when it's happening, right? Like I'm either at work or I'm at baseball or whatever, and it's really not a simple thing to do. If I'm at home, I'd probably do it though. There's a number to text into. There's an email. Yep. You can even tweet at them if you need to.
Man, it's such a tragedy that you're not single. A weather watcher with a Swede Camaro with a spoiler on it.
Who threw a perfect strike on the first
perfect
pitch.
Strike?
I mean, God
Are
almighty.
Are you kidding me?
Rock and roll,
there's no
baby.
Competing with that.
No, none whatsoever.
Well, the weather watcher goes right to the top.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's a good point.
The Camaro's almost a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, at that point.
Redundant.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I say, you're just doubling up. Maybe that's a little too try-hard. Yeah,
you could be in a PT Cruise and you're still going to be fine. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. Twice as many young voters say that they trust Trump over Biden when it comes to Gaza. This is according to a Newsweek poll. 47% of 18 to 24-year-olds who were surveyed chose Trump when asked who would be better at handling the current crisis in the Middle East. Just 23% chose Biden. Find that very interesting.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's also like a complete, I mean, all these polls are, but it's a hypothetical, just like in 2020, it was like, well, who do you think would handle COVID better? If people thought Biden would, they're just imagining.
No, you're right. If you flipped it, let's say Trump was in office now and this was all happening, people would give the exact opposite answer because it's whoever's not the guy while the bad thing's happening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, FTX says that customers will get their money back. The collapsed cryptocurrency exchange says most of its customers will be getting all of their money back with interest. In court filings, FTX says it has between $14.5 billion and $16.3 billion in funds to pay back creditors and customers whose assets were lost when the exchange collapsed in November of 2022.
I don't understand this case. All I know is that the guy has weird hair. Like, he stole billions of dollars, and he's like, it's just gone. I spent it on eBay. And now they're like, wait, here it is. It was under my bed. I mean, it's the craziest damn thing.
Yeah, maybe just don't go to individuals or private companies for money.
Yeah, as soon as I saw his picture, I'd be like, actually, I think I might invest with someone else.
Yeah. If he's the guy in the back, okay. Yeah. But if he's the face of the company,
The United Nations is celebrating the world's most popular sport, declaring May 25th as World Football Day. That would be soccer, of course, not American football. The date was chosen because it's the 100th anniversary of the first international soccer tournament, which took place on May 25th, 1924, at the Olympics in Paris. Very cool.
We should say hello to my new friend, Vito.
Oh, yeah. Vito's...
I got to meet him today.
Vito's one of the guys that... He's one of the crew that works in the underneath, like in the behind the green seats at the ballpark at Busch Stadium. He's the best, man. I've known Vito going back to when I was doing Cardinals games way back.
You know how I got to Vito from the soccer thing?
Huh.
She started talking about the first international, and I started thinking about when the boys from the Hill played the English national team.
Yeah, and he was telling you
he
today.
He was telling me that he grew up where the Dome is now. That was where the Sicilians lived.
Yeah.
And the people from northern Italy lived on the Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I said, did you get along? And he goes, we tried. You know?
I love Vito so much.
He's cool.
If you don't have a friend named Vito, you're not living.
You don't have a real friend.
No.
That's right.
All right. A poll looked at shoplifting. More than half of Americans say that shoplifting and retail theft is a problem in their community, including 21% who say it is a very serious problem. New York and Los Angeles had the largest increases in reporting shoplifting among the studies from 2019 to mid-year 2023.
This tickles my conservative bones because I understand that companies are freaked out that if someone's stealing a bunch of stuff from Walgreens and someone who works there tries to stop them and they end up getting hurt and they sue them. But at some point, don't you have to grow a set and be like, you are a criminal. You are stealing things and you can't do that. I mean, we stopped shoplifting for decades and decades and suddenly we all just agreed like we're not going to stop them anymore.
Yeah, but the courts have to be involved in that, too.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys get a slap on the wrist right. And say, go on, keep doing it.
That's the problem is it, in a lot of areas, it's now a misdemeanor. If it's anything less than $700 at a time, I think that's the standard.
And if you know, you're probably going to get away with it.
Right.
And if you don't.
It's worth it to these people who are doing it professionally. Yeah. It's 100% worth it. So we need to change the rules to make it not worth it.
And I know aren't there a lot of rings that are like sending in minors to do it? Like, you know, they have these groups of people and they'll be like, all right, bunch of young guys go in there. You do it. You get caught. You're just juvenile. You're not going to get anything serious. And then they just make the money anyway.
I watched this documentary that was on YouTube that was very interesting about the Kia boys and how they steal these Kias. And a lot of times it's like 15-year-old kids who just go into neighborhoods. They steal the car and then they sell it to someone who is going to go like commit a murder or something.
Did you see the one that just happened last night or the night before where the police ran down two 16-year-olds and they started firing at them? The 16-year-olds were firing at the police and the police fired back. And then they found that they had been responsible for a couple dozen. I had my car stolen. I think the same night that Reardon did. Ironically, but they stole my car. It ended up in North Carolina and it was full of guns and drugs.
Wow.
And I was like, guns?
That's my car.
Oh, you found them.
But they had evidently used it to pull like just endless heists.
Oh, and then they just dumped it?
And they had traded it over and over again.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Crazy the way
there's a whole economy out there.
Wow.
That we just don't understand.
All right, after his cringy comments, Greg Doyle will not be at Caitlin Clark's games. He will be covering the Indiana Fever from home after his encounter with her at a presser.
How humiliating. Yeah. I mean, he deserves it, but I mean.
And he's in the middle of a suspension now, too. Like, I think he's in a 2-week suspension or something like that.
Because of that or because of something else?
No, because of this. Like, he got a couple of weeks of suspension. I don't know if it's paid or unpaid, but he's been out for 2 weeks, and then he's a columnist. He's not a beat writer, so it's not like it impacts everything he does, but he cannot go to their games and cover anything. He has to write about them just from watching on TV.
Just for a period of time or for
This year. They just said it for this year. I don't know if it's going to go beyond that.
Man.
But, I mean, dude, he stepped in it.
I mean,
that was a pretty big screw-up. Yeah.
Talk about not landing something.
Oh.
I mean, first of all, good luck landing that ever.
Know your place, man. I mean, like, and again, I've read Greg Doyle for years. He's not a bad writer at all. I don't know what the hell he was thinking, though. Like, if you wouldn't talk that way or talk in that way, if it was the Indianapolis Colts first-round draft pick or the Pacers first-round pick, then you shouldn't do it to Caitlin Clark.
You shouldn't do that to any female. But she's like 19 or 22 or something.
Yeah, that's the part that makes it super weird.
Yeah, yeah. There's every level of creep in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more story here. Shake Shack has 80 new locations planned. They are expanding, and they're opening 80 new stores in 2024.
Favorite burger?
Ooh, like chain burger like that?
Like not McDonald's, like upper tier.
It might be Shake Shack for me.
I'm not going to lie. Capital's pretty good.
Oh, no, that's...
Separate level.
That's a separate level.
That's a whole different thing.
Right. I'm into Freddy's.
Yeah, Freddy's is great.
Freddy's is good.